This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Again, in Acts chapter 2, reading verses 38 through 47, and then Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, and then 1 Peter 2, 1 through 5. Acts chapter 2, 38, again, 38 through 47. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and all who believed were together, and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day, every day, those who were being saved. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, rather, as Paul continues to speak to us, Paul says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. And 1 Peter 2, beginning verse 1. So put away all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Our subject again, under construction, Holy Ghost makeover, part 2. Let us pray. Lord God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, we ask right now, especially where you speak to us, that we, your servants, might hear and not just be hearers, but followers of your word to do your will. Holy Ghost, just have your way. Yeah. You are the potter. We are but clay. Mold us and make us after your will. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Under construction. There's no doubt that this church is under construction. I'm saying it again. There's no doubt that this church is under construction. Matter of fact, just about everybody in here said they could see signs that we're under construction. So why is the question? Why are we under construction? Why is this building under construction? Why is this work being done? Yeah. Why is this work being done? Y'all know the answer to that, right? We just had no other way to kind of spend $600,000. Why is this work being, I'm going somewhere with this. Why is this work being done? Would anyone say that it needed it? Yeah, somebody would say that, okay. Some thought that it was just a good idea. No, there's a actual need. Yeah, okay. Well, the other place to that is because we are really striving to be good stewards of what God has entrusted unto us. Because had we not been doing what we're doing, it's easy one day that we're told that because of the situation of the deterioration of the foundation where the bell was, that as we so easily walk under there where the bell is and all, that one day you could have been walking and we probably been tolling the bell during one of these homegoing celebrations, and you yank that thing one time and you might get a little more than you expected. It was a safety issue as well. But it needed to happen, and we need to be good stewards of what God has entrusted. We truly need to take care of what God has given us. Amen. Let me say it again. We truly need to take care of whatever God has given to us. Amen. Everyone who looks at this building will say, First African Baptist is under construction. Everybody who passed by will say, First African is under construction. The news media say, we're under construction. Friends and enemies say you're under construction. But the church is more than this building. We are the church. And yes, we are under construction. The church of our Lord and Savior is a living organism called to serve this present age, his calling to fulfill. And that church, the living organism, is constantly under renovation and restoration. I said the church, a living organism, we're constantly under renovation and restoration. The question is, why? Why are we under renovation and restoration? Why must we be under construction? Again, because we have to be good stewards of what God has entrusted unto us. We have to be good stewards, even as the living organism. We have to be good stewards of what God has entrusted unto us. You do realize, in Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He's given us more than things. God has given us each other. Let me say that again. He's not just given us things. He has given us each other. And we have to be good stewards over and with each other. But let me ask this other question. How do we get to the point of needing to be restored and renovated? How if we're saying we're going to be restored, we got to be restored, we have to be renovated, that we're under construction, how do we get to a point that we need to be, somebody might say, well, I don't need no renovation, I don't need no restoration, I don't need to be under construction, I'm good. Well, let me go to the building. How do we get to a point that we realize that this building needed, this physical building, how do we get to a point where we realize this building had to have some renovation and some restoration? Yeah. Well, it comes this way. It comes from years of neglect, meaning not doing everything needed to be done. We would do stuff that we had to do, that we actually had the money to do. but not to go all the way to everything that got to be done. Constantly being used, but not constantly being restored. Yeah, once was a grand and marvelous specimen, but slowly over the years of wear and tear. Well, how do we need renovations? How do we, as the church, the living organism, how do we need it? Because of years of neglect. Constantly being used and not being kept up. Once we were a grand and marvelous specimen of holiness and righteousness and didn't see the need for daily maintenance, didn't see the need for every day being in prayer. Like 6:33 every morning. Or like coming at 6 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. Yeah, this little bit is fussing right here. Yes, amen. I grant it, yeah. Not getting the daily maintenance that we need through prayer, even through revival, even through consistent daily worship. Yeah, even through daily service to the kingdom of God. Yeah, and before you know it, our building become in disrepair and in need of a Holy Ghost makeover. Have you ever been in a situation where you just saw, you thought everything was all right with it, that it was just going to be all right, and you don't realize how terrible and how much repair it needs until it starts falling down on you? Or somebody comes by and put a notice on the door and say, this house is condemned, you can't move back into it unless you get a complete makeover? That could happen with our spiritual lives if we neglect what God would have us to do on a daily basis. And how do we do it, Pastor? I got to move on. How do you repair a church that's a living, breathing organism? Because you can repair a building because it's sitting still. You can do what you got to do, sand it, paint it. You can fix the building. But how do you fix and how do we work on a living organism? One that's moving every day, one that has things to do all day and every day. How do you fix this living organism, you ask me? I was so excited when sitting in deacon's class this morning. Brother Jones don't know that he said it. But he said, this scripture is what I got right here. He said, this scripture really for us is a blueprint. In other words, you're going to fix the building. You got to go back to the blueprint. Yeah, you got to go and check the foundation for everything that comes. So how was this church built? How was this church built? Not this physical building, but how was his church built? I'm glad you asked. Jesus told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I will build my church. Don't ever get to the point that the church is so much ours that we don't think that it's his. Yeah, it's his church. And I have to correct us sometime when we talk about Reverend George Lyle. Yeah, is the founder of First African. Let me help you with that. Reverend George Lyle was not the founder of First African Baptist Church. He was the organizer and first pastor. The church is founded on Jesus Christ. Yeah, he found his church. So Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are still his church. We are still bought with a price. Yeah, we are bought with a price. We're his church. Well, how does it get to be his church? Because he paid for it. Well, what do you mean he paid for it? I'm glad you asked. He came through 42 generations. He went about doing good. Out of all the good he did, folk talked about him and ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. But Jesus kept on doing good. You know, that's our example of how we ought to live when folk talk about us and ridicule us. He's our example of how we ought to live. And even though they talked about him and ridiculed him, they even marched him up to Golgotha's hill and put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head. And on the cross, Jesus died for all of your sins, all of my sins. The Bible says he died. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was his blood that was shed. He died. But early, on that third day, he got up from the grave with power, power over the grave, victory over death. And then later he ascended into heaven and sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us and direct us. Pastor, why are you putting that right in the middle of your sermon? Because you normally say that at the end. I'm glad you asked. Because I want us to recognize the rest of the story. We get so caught up in the fact that he did die for us and he did get up from the grave and he did ascend into heaven. But the foundation of the church goes on when after he got up from the grave, he told his disciples, he told his church, I want you to do something. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do whatever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you. He spoke to his disciples to say, teach them what I have commanded you. He commanded them before he died in Matthew 22, Mark 12. He commanded them to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. He commanded them to say, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Amen. He commanded them to love. He died, he rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit. That's what we find in Acts chapter 2. Before we get to this passage, the Holy Spirit has come. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you shall be my witnesses. That's what he called us to be. So what is it? This is the blueprint. This is the foundation. What is it that we do? As we look in chapter 2 of our verse of today, in our first scripture today, look what happened. It says, they repented and was baptized and received the Holy Spirit. Repented, was baptized, and received the Holy Spirit. You realize that we've come to Christ, we came repentant. Yes. We had to say, Lord, I sinned, I come short. You don't come hard and saying, yeah, you just got to take me on. You come with a humble spirit. Lord, I messed up. And sometimes I have to take this survey. Is there anybody here who realized that you messed up, you sinned? You didn't do everything you're supposed to have done, and you did some things you should not have done? Amen. We sin and come short, and we repent. Lord, we're sorry for our sins. We want to turn from those sins. And we do believe that Jesus died for our sins, rose from the grave. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. I know we say Jesus came into our hearts. You're technically right, because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's come to live in your heart. But we also know Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. So it's the Holy Spirit that takes up residence in us and guides us and directs us and blesses us. But we have to do more than just repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. There is more. That's why we have this particular passage that shows us what the first church did. And I know we call ourselves the first church, but there was a church a little older than us. But this was the first church in the first century. And look at what this church did. It said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the apostles' doctrine. They devoted themselves. Now, we know the apostles' teaching was love. So they devoted themselves to this love. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine. When did they devote themselves to this teaching? The Bible says every day. They fellowship with believers. When? Every day. They ate together and prayed together. When? Every day. They shared what they had with each other. When? Every day. And then the Lord added to the church. When? Every day. We gotta watch our expectations. Because we get to a point When we are satisfied, if the Lord just add weekly, if he just add on a Sunday, that's becomes our expectation. If he just add weekly, we okay. But if he adds weekly, we are weak. And get weaker. And sometimes we don't seem to get bothered if he doesn't add monthly. But that's the reason the church exists. That folk that don't know him will come to know him. He has empowered us to be witnesses. But we can't just sit around with our powerful self and allow other folk to go to hell while we sit comfortably saying, I'm on my way to heaven anyhow. He's calling us to do this. Once we come to Christ, we have so much more to do every day. We have stuff to do every day, or we decay daily. Neglect of our spiritual being can make us ineffective in the cause of Christ. The way the church is renovated and restored is not by physically looking better, but by growing. When we are being made over by the Holy Spirit, we are merely growing into the person God has ordained us to be. So Peter tells us how to start this spiritual renovation. This is what Peter says to us in 1 Peter 2. So put away all malice. That's hatred. Put away all deceit. Put away all hypocrisy. Put away all envy and all slander. In other words, Peter says, let it be real. Real, authentic relationships every day. I said, we ought to be a rare church. Real, authentic relationships every day. Nobody should be ashamed to come to talk to us or say anything to us because of whatever they've been through. I can't understand for me why when folk get in trouble, the last place they want to come is the church. I mean, something happens in their life, they ought to be able to come to the church, and the church folk, the ones who love the Lord, ought to be able to put their arms around them, realizing if God forgives them and God loves them, we are an extension of God's love. And if, in fact, we act like or think that certain folk don't deserve it, then we do need a spiritual makeover. He said, put away all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all slander. Quit talking about folk. Even if you think what you talk about is true. Put away all slander. If you don't want folks saying about you, don't you say about somebody else. Put away all slander. All slander. All slander. All envy. All hypocrisy. All, just be real. God knows we done messed up. And he still loves us. He wants us to be such a real person that we might know somebody else messed up and we still love them. Because we want God to forgive us of everything, but forgive them of nothing. But he's faithful and just for everybody. Listen to what he says. It says, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Who have fits all the time and got to have their way? Just got to have their way. If it ain't my way or the highway. That is childish. So he says, grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted the Lord is good, as you come to him, listen, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. In the sight of God. Listen, I don't care what folk done said about you. In the sight of God, you are chosen and precious. You need to tell somebody around you, you are chosen by God and precious to him. When last somebody told you were chosen and you were precious to God? And this is where you ought to hear it, and then hear it outside of here. You are chosen and you are precious to God. When something is precious to you, you take care of it, don't you? You got precious living room furniture. You cover it up. And folk come in the den. They don't sit in your living room furniture because that's precious to you. You got good china. It's precious. You might bring it out on Thanksgiving or they might eat on paper plates. It's precious. You treat it like it's precious and it's good. He said, you are chosen and precious. That's what God says. We belong to God. And we ought to be good stewards of what God and who God has allowed to be a part of our lives. You look at somebody, you want to look down on them, but no, they're precious to God. They're chosen by God. He says, we are living stones. Yeah, we're living stones. Yeah, living stones. Y'all know it's bricks that hold this building together, four brick deep all the way around. Brick. Just building together, brick. But the brick, we are living stones. We can say we're living bricks. And God places us in his church. He places us in his church. But when I put the living bricks, so you put these bricks together, they kind of, it needs something to hold them together. Yeah, if I had time, I would have had them to come and do a demonstration and put some mortar down there. Stir up some mortar, and you take the mortar and put it on the brick, and then you put it there and let it sit for a while. It ain't going nowhere. It's going to stick together. I just want you to know that as living stones, God has given us mortar. That mortar is love. Yeah, love is what binds us together. Love is what holds us together. Love is what makes a difference. Apostle Paul tells us how to put the renovation in full force, how to get the dust flying. Yeah, how to get to create a noise that the world will hear and see and know that we're under construction. This is what Paul says. Paul says to us, how to get done. He says, rather, speaking the truth in love. Yeah, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, that's in the Christ, for who the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, with each part, yeah, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow up so that it builds itself up in love. When each part is working properly. Yeah, I'm done. When each part is working properly. I want you to hear that before we leave. When each part is working properly. That means using the gifts that God has given you to do what God has called you to do. There's not a gift in pew sitting. That is not one of the gifts of the Spirit. No, we got to serve this present age our calling to fulfill when we are working properly together. We're under construction, and when we're under construction, there's going to be some inconvenience coming around. When you're under construction, it's not going to be as nice as you think it ought to look. When you're under construction, yeah, folk may talk about you and ridicule you. You might get rubbed the wrong way. When you're under construction, sometimes if you got stuff that need to be painted on and stuff that need to be refinished, but first it could be refinished, it got to be sand. Do you realize when you're sand, what's happening? The sand comes and start pushing it and pushing off of all the old stuff that don't need to be there anymore. It start pushing off the old stuff. It starts scraping you a little bit. It start to hurt a little bit. And you hurt a little bit, not so you can hurt, but so you can be healed. You're hurt so you can get better. You're hurt so things could be all right. It might be some dust flying off of you. Might be some stuff, might be some scales falling off of you. Might be some stuff falling off your heart. We got to realize God might have created us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. God has to work on us, especially if we think we don't need no work. God really got to work on us. He got to work on us, or we could get everything done that he might get the glory, that he might get the praise, that we might be able to say, Lord, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh Lord, fix me. I need you to fix my mind so I can think right. Fix my heart so I can love right. Fix my feet so I can walk right. Fix my hands so I can work right. Fix me, Lord. Create in me everything you want to be in me. We got to be humble enough to say, Lord, it's me. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need you to work on me. I need you to work in me. I need you to fix me, God. And tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you. Because he's working on us. We're under construction. We got a Holy Ghost makeover. Holy Ghost, have your way. Holy Ghost, have your way. Do what you want to do as long as you want to. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me. Shape me. Fill me. Use me. Holy Ghost, have your way. Holy Ghost, have your way. Work on us. Fix us, Lord. Renovate us, Lord. Renew us, Lord. Break us down, Lord. Melt us, Lord. Mold us, Lord. Fix us, Lord. Have your way. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord is working on us. And he's going to fix us. He's got this. Don't worry about it. He's working on us. And when we get fixed, we will come forth as pure gold. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. There may be those today that's not a part of his church, but today say, I want to be a part of his church. I need the Lord in my life. I need the Lord to work on me. I'm willing to say, Lord, have your way in my life. Maybe others who've already accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, but do not have a church home and would like tonight in fellowship with First African Baptist, we invite you to come. You're coming to a church that's not perfect. You're coming to a church that's under renovation, under construction, so God could get glory. Won't you come? Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.